The Arabian Nights, the 213th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Nur al-Din saw the captain standing on the middle of the ship, and heard him saying, 'O merchants, has any of you anything else to do in the city? Think whether you have forgotten anything.' Everyone replied, 'O captain, we have nothing left to do.' Then Nur al-Din got on board with Anis al-Jalis and asked, 'Where are you heading?' And when they replied, 'Baghdad,' he said, 'Very well.' Then the boat sailed and flew as if the sails were wings. As the poet says, 'Look at a ship that's ravishing in sight, as she speeds like the lightning in her course, or like a thirsty bird that swoops from high down to the water with determined force.'" Meanwhile, the Mamluks, whom the king had dispatched, came to Nur al-Din's house, and, forcing the door open, searched the whole place for him and Anis al-Jalis, but found neither trace nor news of them. After they demolished the house, they returned to the king and told him what they had done. The king said, "Search for him everywhere, and wherever you find him, bring him to me." They replied, "We hear and obey." Then he bestowed on the vizier a robe of honour, and sent him home with comforting words, saying, "None shall avenge you but I." Then the king issued a proclamation against Nur al-Din, and the criers proclaimed throughout the city, "O ye people, it is the will of King Muhammad ibn Sulayman al-Zainabi that whoever brings the vizier's son Nur al-Din Ali to him shall receive a robe of honour and 1,000 dinars. He who hides him or looks the other way knows what will happen to him." In the meantime, Nur al-Din and Anis al-Jalis sailed on before a fair wind, and God granted them safe passage, and they reached the city of peace, Baghdad. The captain said to him, "O my lord, congratulations on your safe arrival. This city, which is teeming with people and full of life, is fair and peaceful. Winter has departed with its frost, and spring has arrived with its roses. And now the streams are flowing, the flowers blooming and the birds singing. It is like the city of which the poet said, 'Behold, a peaceful city, free from fear, whose wonders make it a gorgeous heaven appear.'" Nur al-Din gave the captain 5 dinars, then disembarked with Anis al-Jalis. Then they wandered about until God led them to an alley surrounded by gardens. It was well swept and watered, with long benches, hanging cooling pots full of cold water, and a hanging trellis which ran the whole length of the alley and led to a garden gate which was shut. Nur al-Din said, "O Anis al-Jalis, this is a nice place." She replied, "O my lord, for God's sake, let us sit down on this bench and rest for a while." So they sat on a bench after they drank some water and washed their hands and faces, and as they were caressed by the breeze and heard the sounds that rose from the garden, the warbling of the bird, the cooing of the doves in the trees, and the murmur of the water in the streams, they began to feel drowsy and fell asleep. That garden had no equal in all of Baghdad, for it belonged to the Caliph Harun al-Rashid, and was called the Garden of Delight. And in it there stood a palace called the Palace of Statues, to which he came whenever he was depressed. The palace was surrounded by 80 windows and 80 hanging lamps, each pair flanking a candelabra holding a large candle. When the caliph entered the palace, he used to order all the windows opened and the lamps and candelabras lighted, and order Ishaq al-Nadim to sing for him, while he sat surrounded by concubines of all races, until his care left him and he felt merry. The keeper of the garden was an old man called Sheikh Ibrahim, a man for whom the Caliph felt a great affection. Whenever Sheikh Ibrahim went out on some business in the city, he would find a group of pleasure seekers and their whores congregating at the garden gate, and this used to pain him and make him angry. But he waited patiently until one day the Caliph... But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 214th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Ibrahim, the keeper of the garden, waited patiently until one day the Caliph came and he informed him about the situation." The Caliph said to him, "Whomever you find at the garden gate, do with him as you wish." It happened that Sheikh Ibrahim went out on some business in the city on the very day of Nur al-Din's arrival. And when he finished and returned, he found two people covered with a cloak and sleeping on a bench beside the gate. He said to himself, "By God, this is fine. Don't these two know that the Caliph has given me permission to kill anyone I catch here? I will make an example of them, so that none may come near the gate in the future." He went into the garden, and cutting a palm stick, came out and raised his arm until his armpit showed, and he was about to fall on them with heavy blows, when he considered and said to himself, "Ibrahim, you are about to beat these two, who may be strangers or travellers whom fate has brought here. Let me uncover their faces and find out who they may be." He threw away the stick, and stepping closer, uncovered their faces and saw that they were as bright as two shining moons, just like those of whom the poet said, "I saw two sleeping high above the stars, and wished that they would on my eyelids tread, a distant crescent and a rising sun, a green bough and wild deer divine," I said. When he saw them, he said to himself, "By God, they are a handsome pair." Then he covered their faces again, and going to Nur al-Din's feet, began to rub them. Nur al-Din awoke, and seeing a venerable old man rubbing his feet, felt embarrassed, and drawing them in, sat up and took the old man's hand and kissed it, saying, "Uncle, God forbid, and may he reward you." Sheikh Ibrahim asked, "My son, where do you two come from?" Nur al-Din replied, "Sheikh, we are strangers." He said, "You are my honoured guests. Will you not rise and come with me into the garden to relax and enjoy yourselves?" Nur al-Din asked, "Sheikh, to whom does this garden belong?" The old man, wishing to put them at ease and induce them to enter, replied, "I inherited it from my father. My son, I am inviting you in only so that you may forget your cares, relax, and enjoy yourselves." When Nur al-Din heard what Sheikh Ibrahim said, he thanked him, and, rising together with Anis al-Jalis, followed him into the garden. They entered through a vaulted gateway that looked like a gateway in paradise, and passed through a bower of trellised boughs overhung with vines bearing grapes of various colours, the red like rubies, the black like Abyssinian faces, and the white, which hung between the red and the black, like pearls between red coral and black fish. Then they found themselves in the garden. And what a garden! There they saw all manner of things, in singles and in pairs, The birds sang all kinds of songs. The nightingale warbled with touching sweetness. The pigeon cooed plaintively. The thrush sang with a human voice. The lark answered the ringdove with harmonious strains, and the turtle dove filled the air with melodies. The trees were laden with all manner of ripe fruits, pomegranates, sweet, sour, and sour sweet, apples, sweet and wild, and Hebron plums as sweet as wine, whose colour no eyes have seen, and whose flavour no tongue can describe. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this, compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 215th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that when Nur al-Din looked at the beautiful garden, it pleased him and delighted him, and reminded him of the happy times he used to spend with his friends and companions." He turned to the old man and said, "Sheikh, what is your name?" He replied, "My name is Ibrahim." Nur al-Din said, "Sheikh Ibrahim, by God, this is a beautiful garden. May the Almighty God bless you with it. O Sheikh Ibrahim, you have already been kind enough to invite us to your place, and we cannot allow ourselves to demand any more from you. But take these 2 dinars and get us some bread and meat and the like." Ibrahim was glad to take the 2 dinars, saying to himself, "They will not eat more than 10 dirhams worth, and I will keep the rest." Then the old man went out and bought them plenty of good food. In the meantime, Nur al-Din and Anis al-Jalis went and walked around, enjoying the garden until, as it had been foreordained, they came to the Caliph's palace, which was called the Palace of Statues. When they saw its beauty and stateliness, they wanted to enter, but they could not. When Sheikh Ibrahim returned from the market, Nur al-Din asked him, "Sheikh Ibrahim, haven't you said that the garden belongs to you?" He replied, "Yes." Nur al-Din asked again, "Then to whom does this palace belong?" The old man said to himself, "If I say that the palace does not belong to me, they will ask me to explain how so." So he replied, "My son, the palace belongs to me too." Nur al-Din said, "Sheikh Ibrahim, we are your guests, and this palace is your place. Yet you don't open it and invite us in to see it." The old man, who felt embarrassed and duty-bound, disappeared for a while, then returned with a big key, opened the palace door, and said, "Please come in." Then he led them through the palace until they came to the elevated hall. When Nur al-Din saw the windows, the hanging lamps, and the candelabras, he recalled his former parties and exclaimed to the old man, "By God, this is a beautiful place." Then they sat and ate until they were satisfied. After they washed their hands, Nur al-Din went to one of the windows and, opening it, called out to Anis al-Jalis, who joined him to look at the trees laden with all kinds of fruits. Then Nur al-Din turned to the old man and said, "Sheikh, do you have anything to drink?" The old man replied, "My son, why do you wish to drink after you have already eaten? People usually drink before they eat." Nur al-Din said, "This drink people take after they eat." The old man exclaimed, "You don't mean wine?" Nur al-Din replied, "Yes, I do." The old man said, "My son, God forbid. I have made the holy pilgrimage 13 times, and I don't even mention the word. Nur al-Din said, Let me say one word. The old man said, Oh, my son, say it. Nur al-Din said, If that ass tied in the corner is cursed, will the curse fall on you? The old man replied, No. Nur al-Din said, Then take these 2 dinars and these 2 dirhams, ride that ass and go to the wine shop. Stand at a distance, and when a customer comes, call him and say to him, Take these 2 dirhams for yourself, and buy me 2 good flagons of wine with these 2 dinars. When he buys the wine and comes out of the wine shop, say to him, Place the wine in the saddlebag and set it on the ass. And when he does it, drive the ass back, and we will unload the wine. This way, you will neither touch it nor be dirtied or defiled by it. When the old man heard Nur al-Din's words, he laughed and said, My son, by God, I have never met anyone wittier or more charming than you. The old man did what Nur al-Din asked, and when he bought the wine and came back, Nur al-Din and Anis al-Jalis rose and unloaded it. Then Nur al-Din said to him, Sheikh, we are in your charge, and you have to bring us what we need. The old man asked, My son, such as? Nur al-Din replied, Bring us from your storerooms the necessary wine service, utensils and the like. The old man gave them the keys to the storerooms and cupboards and said, Take out what you need while I get you some fruits. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, What a strange and entertaining story. Shahrazad replied, What is this, compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live? The 216th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that Shaykh Ibrahim said, Take out what you need. Then Nur al-Din opened all the storerooms and cupboards and took out whatever he needed and desired, while the old man brought them all kinds of fruits and flowers. Then Anis al-Jalis proceeded to prepare the table, arranging the cups and beakers and the gold and silver utensils of all shapes and the nuts and fruits, and when everything was ready, they sat to carouse and drink. Nur al-Din filled a cup and, turning to Anis al-Jalis, said, Our journey has proved most fortunate by coming to this garden, and recited the following verses. Oh, what a lovely and a perfect day! What charm, what joy, and what a total bliss! My right hand holds the cup, my left the moon. Why heed the one who censures me for this? Then he drank with Anis al-Jalis until the day departed and night descended. The old man returned to see whether they needed anything else from him. He stood at the door and, addressing Nur al-Din, said, My lord, by God, this is a happy day, for you have honoured me with your presence. As the poet says, if the house could know what has visited, it would rejoice and kiss the very dust, as if to say, Only the generous has by his gifts such welcome merited. Nur al-Din, who was drunk by now, replied, O Sheikh Ibrahim, far be it from you to be honoured by the likes of us. By God, we have imposed on your goodness and fully enjoyed your generosity. Anis al-Jalis turned to her lord and said to him, My lord, Nur al-Din, I wonder what will happen if we make Sheikh Ibrahim drink. He asked her, By my life, can you? She replied, Yes, by your life I can. He asked her, "Damn it, how?" She replied, "My lord, invite him and press him until he comes in and sits with us. Then drink a cup and pretend to fall asleep, and let me handle the rest." When Nur al-Din heard Anis al-Jalis's words, he turned to Sheikh Ibrahim and said to him, "Sheikh Ibrahim, is this how people behave?" The old man replied, "How so, my son?" Nur al-Din said, "We are your guests, yet you refuse to sit with us, to entertain us with your conversation and help us while away the night." Sheikh Ibrahim looked at these two as the wine took hold of them, and their cheeks flushed, their foreheads perspired, their eyes flirted, and their hair became dishevelled, and said to himself, "What is the harm in sitting with them? And when will I again meet people like them?" He entered and sat in the corner, but Nur al-Din said to him, "By my life, you must come and sit with us." The old man joined them, and Nur al-Din drank the cup and lay down, making the old man think that he had fallen asleep. Then Anis al-Jalis turned to the old man and said, "See how he treats me?" The old man asked her, "What is the matter with him?" She replied, "He always drinks a little and falls asleep, leaving me all alone with none to keep me company." As the old man began to weaken, she filled a cup and said, "By my life, be kind to me and drink." The old man took it and drank it off, and she filled a second cup, and he drank it off too, saying, "This is enough." But she said, "It is all the same whenever it is 1 or 100, and gave him the third cup, which he drank off. Then she filled the fourth cup and gave it to him, and he was about to drink it when Nur al-Din sat up. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 217th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the girl filled the fourth cup and gave it to the old man, and he was about to drink it, when Nur al-Din sat up and said, 'Sheikh, what is this? Did I not invite you to drink, but you refused, saying, I have forsworn drinking?'" The old man, who was embarrassed, replied, "It is not my fault." Nur al-Din laughed, and they resumed their drinking. Then the girl whispered to Nur al-Din, "Drink, but don't entreat him to drink, and I will show you what he will do." When the two of them began to drink and carouse by themselves, the old man looked at them and asked, "What is this? Why do you give me nothing to drink?" And when they heard this, they burst out laughing. Then they drank and gave him to drink well into the night. When half of the night was gone, the girl said, "I will go and light one of these candles." The old man said, "Do, but light only one." But she rose, lighted all the candles, and sat down again. A little later, Nur al-Din asked the old man, "Will you do me a favour? Let me light one of these lamps." The old man replied, "Very well, but light only one." But Nur al-Din rose and lighted all the lamps, setting the palace ablaze with light. The old man, who was intoxicated by now, saying to them, "You are more playful than I," rose and opened all 80 windows. As it had been foreordained, the Caliph was at that moment seated at one of the palace windows overlooking the Tigris River, and, chancing to turn his head, saw the palace's statues ablaze with light. He was furious, and summoning the vizier Jafar, looked at him angrily and said, "You dog of vizier, has Baghdad been taken from me and you do not tell me?" Jafar replied, "O Commander of the Faithful, by God, these are harsh words." The Caliph said, "You dog, if Baghdad was not taken from me, the palace would not be lighted and the windows would not be opened, for who would dare do such a thing unless the caliphate has been taken from me?" Jafar, who was trembling with fear, said, "O Commander of the Faithful, who told you that the palace of statues was lighted and its windows opened?" The Caliph said, "Damn you, come here and look." Jafar went to the window and, looking toward the garden, found the palace blazing in the darkness of the night, and, thinking that something must have happened to the keeper Ibrahim, and wishing to make an excuse for him, said, "O Commander of the Faithful, Sheikh Ibrahim came to me last Friday and said, I wish to circumcise my sons during the Commander of the Faithful's lifetime and yours. And when I asked him, 'What do you want?' he replied, 'The Caliph's permission to hold the festival in the palace.' I said to him, 'Go and circumcise them, and I will tell the Caliph when I see him.' But I forgot to tell you, O Commander of the Faithful." The Caliph said, "Jafar, I had thought that you had committed one offence against me, but now I find that you have committed two. First, by failing to tell me. Second, by failing to understand what he really wanted. For he came and told you only to ask indirectly for some money to help him out with the expenses of the circumcision. Yet you neither gave him any, nor told me about him so that I might have given it to him myself." Jafar replied, "O Commander of the Faithful, I was distracted." The Caliph said, "By the tombs of my fathers and forefathers, I will not pass the rest of the night but with him, for it will be to our mutual advantage. His, in that my presence will mollify and please him. Mine, in that I will meet the pious and holy men assembled there." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 218th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the Caliph said to Jafar, 'I will meet the pious men assembled there.'" Jafar said, "It is very late, and the gathering is over by now." The Caliph said, "I must go regardless." Jafar was silent, for he was perplexed and did not know what to do. The Caliph rose, as did Jafar and Masur the eunuch, and the three left the palace disguised as merchants and made their way through the streets of Baghdad until they came to the garden. The Caliph went up to the gate and was surprised to find it open, and said to Jafar, "O Jafar, Sheikh Ibrahim has, contrary to his habit, left the gate open to this hour. He must have been distracted by the festivities." Then they entered and crossed the garden until they stood before the palace. The Caliph said to Jafar, "I wish to watch them secretly before joining them, so that I may see what they are doing, for I hear neither their voices nor the mendicants, nor do I hear their hymns to God. These men conduct themselves with great reverence." Then he looked around and, seeing a tall tree, said to Jafar, "This tree is the best, for its branches come near the windows. I will climb it and see what they are doing." He climbed the tree and moved from branch to branch until he reached one that came up to one of the windows. When he looked through the window, he saw a young man and a young lady who looked like two moons, and saw Shaykh Ibrahim holding a wine cup in his hand, and heard him say, "Oh, mistress of fair women, wine without song is better left in the jug. The poet says, pass round the wine in great and small cups too. As our two hands with this bright moon we link, and drink not without song, for 'tis well known even the horses need whistling to drink." When the caliph saw this, the veins of his eyes bulged with anger, and he descended and said to Jafar, "My eyes have seen the pious men assembled there. Do likewise, and climb the tree, and look at them, lest you miss their blessings." When Jafar heard this, he was puzzled, but he climbed the tree, and when he looked in and saw Shaykh Ibrahim drinking with Nur al-Din and Anis al-Jalis, he turned pale and was sure that he was undone. When he came down and stood before the caliph said to him, "Jafar, it is good that we came in time for the circumcision." But Jafar, out of embarrassment and fear, was unable to say a word. The caliph asked him, "I wonder who let these two in, and how they dared trespass on my palace. But in beauty, the like of this young man and this young lady I have never seen." Jafar, hoping to propitiate the caliph, replied, "You are right, O Commander of the Faithful." The caliph said, "O Jafar, let us both climb the branch opposite the window and amuse ourselves by watching them carouse." Then the two climbed up to that branch and, looking through the window, heard the old man say to the girl, "O mistress of fair women, what else do we need for this banquet?" She replied, "Sheikh, if you had some musical instrument, our joy would be complete." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 219th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Anis al-Jalis replied, 'If you had some musical instrument, our joy would be complete.'" The old man said, "I do," and rose to his feet. The caliph asked Jafar, "What is he going to bring?" Jafar replied, "O Commander of the Faithful, I do not know." The old man went out and soon returned with a lute. When the caliph saw the lute, he recognized it as the one belonging to Ishaq al-Nadim and said to Jafar, "Jafar, this girl is going to play the lute. By the tombs of my fathers and forefathers, if she sings well, I will pardon them and hang you. But if she sings badly, I will hang you all." Jafar replied, "O king, let her sing badly." The caliph asked him, "Why so?" Jafar replied, "Because if you hang us together, we will entertain each other." The caliph laughed. Then the girl turned the lute and began to play a melancholy measure so well that it filled their hearts with yearning and sadness. Then she sang the following verses. "You who rebuff us in love's misery, whatever you do, we deserve the pain. Of you, for you, to you we do appeal. You who listen to all those who complain, torment us not, we who pity deserve. Fear the Almighty, and yourself restrain. We fear not that you glory in our death, but we fear that you will wrong us again. The Caliph said, Ja'far, never in my life have I heard anything lovelier. Ja'far, realizing that the Caliph was no longer angry, replied,
You are right, O Commander of the Faithful.
Then they descended from the tree, and the Caliph said to Ja'far, I wish to join them and hear the girl sing before me. Ja'far replied,
If we go in, we will spoil their pleasure, and Shaykh Ibrahim will die of fright on the spot.
The Caliph said, I will not let him recognize me. Then he left Ja'far standing and walked to the side overlooking the Tigris River. While he was pondering what to do, he saw a fisherman fishing below the palace wall. It happened that the Caliph had earlier heard a noise below the windows, and when he had asked the keeper of the garden, Shaykh Ibrahim, What is that noise? The keeper had replied, It is the voices of the fishermen. And the Caliph had said to him, If you let them in again, I will hang you. So the keeper had forbidden the fishermen from fishing there. But on that night, a fisherman named Karim happened to pass by, and seeing the garden gate open, said to himself, The keeper must have gone to sleep and forgot to shut the gate. I will carry my net and take advantage of his carelessness, and go in and fish below the palace, for at this hour all is quiet, and the fish are calm. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence.